Hello and welcome back to the Manchester Weekly from the Mail. My name's Jack Dulhanty, I'm one of the staff writers and I'm joined by my colleague Molly Simpson. Hello Molly.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So lovely to have you back. I can't remember when I was last on this actually. Was I on the last one?
I was interviewing Caroline Dyer last podcast, the founder of Head Storytelling.
I'm back after a break then.
Yeah, it's nice to have you back, I would say.
Today we're talking about a video that was shared recently online, which showed a Greater Manchester police officer dragging a homeless man across the floor in St. Peter's Square. The footage of the incident, which happened last September, sparked a lot of anger online. And Molly, you've been looking into the sort of broader issue of how police in the city treat its homeless community.
Yeah, that's right.
But before we get into that, would you, Molly, be interested in a performance about abductions, murders in the palace and a plot to overthrow the aristocracy?
I've never thought of that, but now that you've said it, I'm intrigued.
Then you need to go to the Bridgewater Hall on Thursday the 18th of April. The Halle, our sponsor for today's podcast, are putting on a performance of Verdi's Simone Boccanegra. It's an opera built around intrigue and revenge. Manchester's world-class orchestra, the Halle, is teaming up with Opera Rara and the Chorus of Opera North. They will be under the direction of the legendary Mark Elder, and that's one of your final chances to see him in action before he steps down as the Halle's musical director after 24 years. Wow. Tickets are on sale now. We're going to drop a link in the description of this episode, where if you enter the MIL18 in the promo code box, you will get 25% off. You would think it would be the MIL25, but it's the MIL18. Now, let's move on to the main story.
Right. Stop it. Let go of me then. Let go of me. Remind me of your name.
So that was an extract from a video by the BBC social affairs correspondent Michael Buchanan, which was posted on X 2 weeks ago. The video is dated September 2023, and it shows a police constable dragging a rough sleeper around by a sleeping bag, kicking and stamping on his chest. The rough sleeper appears to reach out to try and grab the officer's hand to get her to stop, and that's when you hear her saying, "Let go of me, let go of me." The video has been viewed over a million times, and it's been shared by thousands of people, and it's prompted outcry across Greater Manchester and across the country as well. Molly, could you tell me more about the reaction to the video?
It's had a huge response. Many homelessness charities have come forward to condemn the officer's actions. Crisis said it was appalling and degrading. Mustard Tree, they're a homelessness charity based in Ancoats. They said it was appalling, unacceptable, and does not reflect our city. It's also had a really big reaction among people who work in the sector. So I spoke to a former Manchester City Council officer who worked in homelessness and housing around 10 years ago. And while they didn't say that this was part of a trend that they'd observed in their time, you know, police hostile to homeless people, they did equally say that they weren't surprised. And that, I think, was the most shocking thing. So I'll read out the quote from that officer. "I definitely noticed more explicit anti-begging rhetoric coming from local politicians and others in the intervening years, which is always going to have an othering effect. So it's probably not a reach to assume those hardening attitudes are likely to be reflected in how homeless people are policed." So that's a huge quote, really, because the fact that someone isn't surprised by the extremeness of this video, and I think that's really, really shocking.
And what do we know about the person who was treated that way?
So the BBC have interviewed this man. He's 31. He's a refugee from Sudan. He wishes to remain anonymous. He says he's now found accommodation immediately after this incident. However, he was hospitalised. It caused him a fever. He had blood in his urine. Sounds like it was incredibly, incredibly painful for him. Rough sleepers would sleep in that area just outside St. Peter's Square near the town hall, and they'd be woken up by council officials each morning. But on the morning of the incident, the rough sleepers who usually sleep in the area told them that we had nowhere to go and it was just very, very cold. He's been in the UK for about 3.5 years now, I think, and he's been given right to remain. And yeah, like I said, he's now found accommodation. He's also received an apology from the force.
And you were talking about that sort of othering effect that homeless people have to experience. You mentioned in your piece a separate piece in the New Yorker that talks more about this. What did you glean from that piece to sort of inform your writing of this one?
So the New Yorker piece outlines that problem very well, I think. It's by a writer called J. Caspian Kang. Although they're writing about the situation in America, from an American perspective, I do think it really relates to the UK. So I'll read out a quote from that. As long as homeless people are seen as an intrinsic and existential threat to public safety and a political nuisance, their lives will be devalued and mostly seen as collateral damage in the fight to clean up a city. So that, I think really feels relevant to the UK at the moment. We're seeing some ministers propose a very hostile policy at the moment, in my opinion, which would basically give some authorities sweeping powers to make arrests or fine people sleeping in doorways or even for having an excessive smell. The homelessness charity Crisis has campaigned very heavily against this bill. They've handed in a petition to Parliament which has over 10,000 signatures now. So the argument goes that as long as we're seeing policies like this which advocate for the incarceration of homeless people, describe them as a nuisance, refer to things like their excessive smell, we're going to devalue their lives. And if the police's responsibility is to uphold the law, then how ultimately can the homeless community trust that they're going to sort of advocate for them and have their best interests at heart?
And how did the police respond to the footage?
So GMP's response was, the officers' behaviour fell below the standards we expect, especially concerning respect for all members of the community, and the officers' actions were dealt with. The superintendent responsible for the city centre personally discussed the incident with the officer and made it clear that her actions were unacceptable and must not be repeated. She, along with other colleagues, received refresher training on how to deal with similar situations in the future. I was a bit unclear on what this refresher training referred to, so I got in touch with GMP to see if they could elaborate on this. Not an official statement, but on a background, a spokesperson for GMP told me that this refresher training was an input delivered by a senior officer to the relevant officer and other colleagues who also deal with the homeless community. A refresher including how to ensure they're reflective of best practice. So it sounds like a group of officers who work in this area in the city centre maybe, or within street engagement dealing with the homelessness community, were just reminded of what their duties are. So that's as much as I could get from that.
It's quite vague, and it's also just kind of sad to be reminded of what your duties are.
Yeah.
It's quite depressing in many ways.
To need a refresher on that.
Yeah, 100%. And what about the sort of broader political reaction? What have people like Andy Burnham been saying, or the councils and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so Andy Burnham has responded, given the Greater Manchester Combined Authority has responsibility over the police's governance and management. They did put out a statement at a police accountability meeting in early March. Andy Burnham said he had asked the force's deputy chief constable to review whether the disciplinary action taken was appropriate and whether it went far enough. So we'll hear a clip from that now.
First time we're aware of the incident, it has raised public concern, understandably so, and the question as to whether or not the action that was taken by GMP after the event was appropriate. The disciplinary action. In response to that, I have asked the Deputy Chief Constable to review the decision-making and the action that was taken and to come back to us, to report back to us, to tell us whether or not it was correct or whether or not more is needed to be done.
So that was Andy Burnham speaking in a police accountability meeting on Tuesday the 5th of March. It's been nearly 3 weeks since then, and the latest we've heard from the GMCA is that the police have still not sent their review over. So to be clear on that, Andy Burnham has asked the police force to review how they responded to this incident, to review their decisions around asking the constable, go through refresher training. They've asked them to look into that. They still haven't received that review from the police, so they haven't been able to judge yet whether the officer acted with inappropriate force or whether the judgment the police made on how to deal with that was correct. So we're still waiting on that decision.
And one of the things that your piece tries to look at is whether or not this incident is kind of an anomaly or part of a broader trend. So you went out and spoke to a few rough sleepers around the city centre to get their kind of recollections, encounters with the police. What did you find out?
A real variety. So I heard from Matt. He's a rough sleeper. He sleeps on Cross Street. You may have seen him just outside the Greggs. And he was telling me about an incident that actually felt very similar to the one we saw in the video outside Manchester Town Hall. So he said he was sleeping outside there with a friend sometime last year, and he was just starting to wake up, and a female police officer started sort of booting off at his mate, is what he said, and said, "Wake up, I'm talking to you." And he was saying to her, you know, don't kick him, leave him alone. Since then, he's not felt comfortable sleeping outside Manchester Town Hall. He prefers cross street. He says it feels like a much safer area. You know, as you know, rough sleeping is an offence under the Vagrancy Act 1824. So officers can technically ask rough sleepers to move on. He says he has been approached in this way before. Sometimes police officers, he says they try to intimidate him. They say he shouldn't be begging, which leaves him sort of weighing two options. Should I argue back, or should I just do as they say, move on, choose an easy life? And then I also met Rob. So he was on Market Street when I met him. He's got a bulldog called Poppy. We had a chat as well, and he said he's had a very difficult time. So a lot of police officers have tried to refer him on to temporary accommodation for homeless people, but he's often struggled to get into these because most places don't accept dogs, and he's not willing to give Poppy up. He says one police officer in particular was struggling to accept this explanation. They were outright threatening him. They said they'll take the dog off him. That sounded like a particularly difficult interaction. I also get the sense that your perception of the police will depend on the kind of experiences you've had. So take Darren, for example. This is someone I met near Piccadilly. He said he finds the police generally very, very helpful. And you remember this experience he had in his 20s. So that was the last time he was homeless. He'd left home age 17. He'd started using drugs, and he was in long sight when he got arrested and taken to a police station. And he said they didn't handcuff him. They didn't charge him with any crimes. They just sat down and talked to him. They chatted to him. And then they referred him onto a CGL, which is Change Grow Live. So it's a support service for people suffering with drug and alcohol abuse. He managed to get clean from going through that program, and he's managed to stay off drugs and alcohol ever since. So that was a very formative experience with him, and I think that's definitely really informed his worldview and maybe to an extent his interactions with the police.
And you mentioned Change Grow Live and the kind of organizations that are dedicated to helping homeless people.
Mm.
And you spent some time with charities that operate in the city centre for this story. And I was wondering, you know, they must come across this sort of thing, will have seen that video. What did they make of it?
They were very horrified. So I spent some time with a charity called Two Brews. They are a charity for people in need. They give out hot drinks and food on St. Peter's Square and St. Anne's Square every weekday evening. So we were out on St. Peter's Square on a Tuesday evening. We had these two big tables in front of us, just like completely covered in sandwiches from Pret-a-Manger and snacks. Lots and lots of people queuing out for food. It was really busy. It was really, really bustling. And then what was really telling was there was this moment where a police officer approached us, and he was asking about a missing person in the city. Me and the charity's founder, Amanda, and another volunteer called Matthew spent a minute chatting with him to see if we could help. And we noticed that everyone else just completely backed away. So what was once like a really busy tea and food station, it was just like completely empty. Amanda picked up on that as well, because she said it felt very indicative of the kind of vanishing of trust between police and the homelessness community. And it didn't seem to surprise her either.
And I suppose in a way, that vanishing of trust that you mention, the question is how you can really go about rebuilding that. Which is what the police are going to need to do, especially in light of this video and the sort of public reaction to it. What do you think is the answer to that question? How easy is it to rebuild that trust?
It's a really difficult question to answer. I mean, Amanda's perspective, she's been working in this area for a few years now. She's got a good, really good relationship with the homeless community. Is that it just takes one horrible incident like the video we've seen. It just takes one person to do the wrong thing, and then the trust can go. That's what
you
she told
undo
me.
Undo the good work that you have done.
Yeah, that's what she told me that evening. So, you know, she did mention a lot of a couple of GMP officers in particular, Dave Fisher and Warren Bates. They work with the street engagement team with Greater Manchester Police. It's this joint effort between the police and Mustard Tree to sort of chat to homeless people and try and refer them onto agencies that can help. So that could be a place that provides accommodation or food or sort of counselling for, you know, sort of just giving you a bit of help. She says they're particularly good at communication. If someone's gone missing, they'll text them and say, hey, have you heard from this person? Well, we haven't seen them in their place. She's also noticed occasions where a police officer sat down and chatted to someone all day just to keep them company, or other times when officers have tried to persuade people to take up space in temporary accommodation and said, you know, you can get a bed here, you can sleep here, this will be sheltered, we'll make sure, you know, you'll get there okay, and they'll kind of follow through and make sure it all goes well. But, you know, like I said, it does just take that one bad incident and the trust can completely evaporate.
Yeah, and that's, I suppose, the case we've got here. Well, it's something definitely to follow, that sort of process of rebuilding trust and I just think reporting on this is always really important. We did it late last year, didn't we, during winter, and the questions that are raised around homeless people at that time. But yeah, all really important stuff to look into, but all that we have time for today.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
So yeah, thanks for listening, and please do subscribe. It's manchestermail.co.uk/subscribe, and please try and share this podcast with as many people as possible. Have a lovely day, and thank you for listening.